Chapter 14. Murphy drove me home and parked in the gravel lot next to the century-old converted boarding house. She killed the engine in the car, and it made those clicking noises they do. We sat there with the windows rolled down for a second. A cool breeze coming off the lake whispered through the car, soothing after the unrelenting heat of the day. Murphy checked her rearview mirror and then scanned the street. "Who were you watching for?" "What?" I said. "What do you mean?" "You rubbernecked so much on the way here, I'm surprised your shoulders aren't bruising your ears." I grimaced. "Oh, that. Someone was tailing me tonight."
"And you're just now telling me about it?"
I shrugged.
"No sense worrying you over nothing."
"Whoever he is, he's not there now." I described a shadowy man and his car.
"Same one who ran you off the road, do you think?" she asked.
"Something tells me no," I said. "He wasn't making any effort to avoid being spotted. For all I know, he could just be a PI gathering information on me for the lawsuit."
"Christ," Murphy said. "Isn't that thing over with?"
I grimaced.
"For a talk show host, Larry Fowler can really hold a grudge. He keeps doing one thing after another."
"Maybe you shouldn't have burned down his studio and shot up his car then."
"That wasn't my fault."
"That's for a court to decide," Murphy said in a pious tone.
"You got an attorney?"
"I helped a guy find his daughter's lost dog 5 or 6 years ago. He's an attorney. He's given me a hand with the legal process, enough so it hasn't actually bankrupted me. But it just keeps going and going." Neither of us got out of the car. I closed my eyes and listened to the summer night. Music played somewhere. I could hear the occasional racing engine.
"Harry," Murph asked after a while, "are you all right?"
"Hungry. A little tired."
"You look like you're hurting," she said.
"Maybe a little achy," I said.
"Not that kind of hurt."
I opened my eyes and looked at her and then away.
"Oh, that."
"That," she agreed. "You look like you're bleeding somehow."
"I'll get over it," I told her.
"Is this about last Halloween?" I shrugged a shoulder. She was quiet for a moment, then she said,
"There was a lot of confusion in the blackout and right after. But they found a corpse in the field museum that had been savaged by an animal. Lab guessed it was a large dog. They found 3 different blood types on the floor, too."
"Did they?" I asked.
"And at Kent College. They found 8 dead bodies there. 6 of them had no discernible means of death. 1 had its head half severed by a surgically sharp blade. The other had taken a .44 round to the back of the head." I nodded. She stared at me for a while, frowning and waiting for me to continue. Then she said in a quiet, certain voice,
"You killed them."
My memory played some bad clips in my head. My stomach twisted. I didn't do the headless guy.
Her cool blue eyes stayed steady, and she nodded.
"You killed them. It's eating at you."
"It shouldn't. I've killed a lot of things."
"True," Murphy said. "But they weren't fairies or vampires or monsters this time. They were people. And you weren't in the heat of battle when they died. You made the choice cold."
I couldn't lift my eyes for some reason, but I nodded and whispered, "More or less."
She waited for me to say more, but I didn't.
"Harry," she said, "you're tearing yourself up over it. You've got to talk to someone. It doesn't have to be me or here, but you've got to do it. There's no shame in feeling bad about killing someone, not for any reason."
I let out a short little laugh. It tasted bitter. "You're the last person I'd expect to tell me not to feel bad about committing murder."
She shifted uncomfortably.
"Sort of surprised myself," she said.
"But damn it, Harry. You remember when I shot Agent Denton?"
"Yeah."
"Took me some time to deal with it, too. I mean, I know he'd lost it, and he was going to kill you if I didn't do it, but it made me feel..."
She squinted out at the Chicago night.
"Stained to take a life."
She swallowed. "And those poor people the vampires had controlled at the shelter. That was even worse."
"All of those people were trying to kill you, Murph. You had to do it. You didn't have an option. You thought about it.
You knew that when you pulled the trigger. Do you think you had an option? She asked. I shrugged and said, maybe, maybe not. I swallowed. The point is that I never bothered to consider it. Never hesitated. I just wanted them dead. She was quiet for a long time. What if the council is right about me? I asked Murphy quietly. What if I grow into some kind of monster? One that takes life without consideration for anything but his own will. Who cares more about end than means? More about might than right? What if this is the first step? Do you think it is? Murphy asked.